Amazing. Preteens, yeah, you are dismissed. Preteens, thanks for being with us. I know it's going to be so much fun there. I can see Megan up there. Amazing. Well, welcome everyone, and welcome to those of you joining us online or listening in. I'm so glad that you would take the time to come here this morning, to trust us with your morning, to know that we're faithfully going to proclaim the gospel and worship Jesus in the North Shore. We're going to be finishing our sermon series going through the book of Ecclesiastes. We've been in a series called Meaning, exploring faith and doubt with Ecclesiastes. And so if you have a Bible or you want to grab one, maybe it's on your phone, you can turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. I've entitled this sermon, Meaning in Our Final Days. What we've experienced with Ecclesiastes over the last 7 weeks is, in my opinion, one of the strangest and most realistic voices in Scripture about the life that we have to live. Ecclesiastes has asked questions that I think most of us would rather not ask out loud, but really, they're on our hearts. Questions of purpose, meaning. And through these words, through these 12 chapters, what the writer has done, or his name is Ecclesiastes or Qohelet, what he's done is he has taken our own self-deception and kind of peeled it off from our eyes, right? He's peeled off this illusion or this illusory faith. He's invited us to doubt our faith, invite us to doubt our doubts and to find God there. In these last chapters, what he's going to do, Qohelet, or the teacher, is going to bring all of it, all of this experience that we have, all of these questions, all the frustrations, all of it into a single, unforgettable word, pun intended, okay? Remember your Creator before. Remember your Creator before. Before what, you say? Before the years grow heavy. Before your body begins preaching a sermon to you that you can no longer ignore, right? Can you catch my meaning? You know that something is going not to work today, that you are mortal, that there will be an end. And what will you do? Remember your Creator before death comes, before you stand before the God who made you. And so, like I said, we're going to be in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, starting in verse 7. It's going to be on the screen as well. I just invite you to read along with me. Maybe this isn't your sacred text, but it is mine. And so just invite you to listen to it and hear the wisdom of God's word. Verse 7 says, "The light is pleasant, and it is good for the eyes to see the sun." Everybody in Lynn Valley said amen, right? Rainiest place in Canada. Indeed, if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. But let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Everything that is to come will be futility or meaningless or hevel. That word's 38 times in our book. Verse 9, "Rejoice, young man or woman, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of your youth, and follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Yet, know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. So, remove sorrow from your heart and keep pain away from your body, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting." Chapter 12, verse 1, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years approach when you will say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" All right, you'll say of those days. "Before the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are darkened, and the clouds return after the rain. On the day that the watchmen of the house tremble, and strong men are bent over, and the grinders stop working because there are few, and those who look through windows grow dim, and the doors on the street are shut as the sound of the grinding mill is low, and one will arise at the sound of a bird." Maybe that was you last night, waking up to all kind of sounds. and all the daughters of song will sing softly. Furthermore, people are afraid of high places and terrors on the road. The almond tree blossoms. This is a picture of a person's hair going white. The grasshopper drags itself along. The caperberry is ineffective, for man goes to his eternal home while the mourners move around in the street. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed by the and the pitcher by the spring is shattered and the wheel at the cistern is crushed. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Futility of futilities, says the preacher, all is hevel. All is futility. The conclusion, when everything has been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. And this is God's word. So we say, thanks be to God. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, I pray today that you would give us, as the scripture is saying, eyes that can see, eyes that do not grow dim, ears that can hear you, that are not stopped up, a heart that understands, a heart that knows its deepest longing is found in you. Lord, I pray for our sermon today and for the word of Ecclesiastes, that you would drive it home in our hearts. It's in your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. So like I said, we've been in this book for 7 weeks, taking a little break here and there, but even if you haven't, even if this is your first time encountering this book, on a cursory reading, it sort of demands your attention, doesn't it? It's like, wow, that has an edge. That is a pretty dark take. What's going on? And what we've heard is throughout these chapters is that, you know, our careers, right? Our careers, our achievements, our pleasures, our carefully curated lives. The teacher has taken all these things and said, this is what you're building your foundation on. I want you to understand these things are a hevel, right? Or a mist, a vapor, like your breath on a cold morning. Do not build your life on these things, for they will fade away. Ecclesiastes, or Qoheleth, or the teacher, has taken all these things and trying to show us that what we actually stand on, most of our lives, what we work for, what we build towards, is actually as solid as vapor, as hevel. And yet, have you noticed that he doesn't just leave you there in depression and sadness as if there is no meaning, all the while crying meaningless? What has he done? He has taken these doubts and these questions of faith, and he's actually tried to pry this false illusion out of your life so that you might have a hand that can actually be open to hold on to a truth that really is a truth, that's really thick, that's really solid, that is not hevel. I'll remind us, but Eugene Peterson said that it's not so much a meal that we're eating today, but rather a bath. we're scrubbing off the dirt and the grime from how we think about God and life and faith. And so now we arrive today at his final word for us. Remember your Creator before. Remember your Creator before. Before the body that you take for granted starts to tell you that you need to listen to God before your Creator takes your spirit, before your body dies. Qoheleth is not just a philosopher for us today. He's reaching out to you as if to say, listen, please listen to me, right? Listen, life is sweet, yes, and life is short, but God is real, and guess what? You're going to meet him. This is what he's saying to us. So let's talk about the sweetness and the shortness of life. The sweetness and the brevity of life. In chapters 11, 7 through 10, the teacher begins with something simple and beautiful. He says that the light is pleasant to our eyes. It is good for the eyes to see the sun, right? You woke up this morning, probably like me, and you walked over to your window hoping to see the sun, right? And you, maybe what you didn't realize is when you put your feet down on the ground outside your bed that this is a gift, this life that you've received. Maybe you remembered it when you finally tasted coffee this morning, right? You're thinking, yes, thank you for this coffee, God, right? Thank you for, you got into your car and it had heated seats, right? You're like, thank you, Lord, for these heat, right? What is it in your life that you're thankful for? Even right here, present company included, right? It's a miracle that you're here. It's a miracle that I'm here, what God has done in my life and in your life to bring you to a place where you would be sitting in church, listening to the gospel and worshiping your Creator. What is God doing in your life? How is He speaking to you? Life is beautiful. Life is sweet, he says, and you live for many years. Hopefully you live for many years, so rejoice in them all. Don't apologize. Don't feel guilty for delighting in your life. These are good things. Sometimes I think there's a Christianity that feels bad about delighting in life. What is the chief end of man, right? To know God and to enjoy Him forever. It is good to delight in God. But then halfway through verse 8, he shifts directions and he says, yet let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. Everything that is to come is vapor. So he says, life is sweet. Think of your life and remember what? Remember that the days of darkness are drawing near. I want you to try this with me. Okay, so imagine if your life is a line across this stage. Let's say it begins over here all the way by the boxes. Okay? Your life starts here. I was born in the 19s. I said that to a kid. He's like, whoa, you're born in the 19s? Dude, you're old, man. Okay, so imagine if you're like me, you're in the 19s, your life begins here, and it's headed all the way over to the cross. All right? You see way over there? Now, if you were to put yourself on that timeline, where would you put yourself? Right? Are you 18, right? You're in your 50s. Where would you put yourself on the timeline? I think most of us live as if that line doesn't stop at the cross, just kind of keeps going, right? We just I don't know when it ends, and I'm just gonna pretend like it doesn't. I think Ecclesiastes would sit behind us with his arms crossed. Are you sure, bro? Are you sure you want to live like that? Your life will end. Maybe you're not convinced. Oh, I'm gonna take each day. I don't want to think about the end. Okay, well, it's true. Think about this. Think about when you were a kid, the summertime. How long was the summer, right? It was 90 days for me. It was glorious 90 days. It felt like an eternity every day riding my bike, right? Think about those memories, right? Wow, 90 days, summer feels, it's gone. I don't even remember what I did this summer. Did we have a summer, right? But for a kid, it's an eternity. It's everything to look forward to, right? Think about your wedding. Maybe you're blessed enough to get married, and you remember preparing and how important that was, and now you look back, and it's like just pictures flashing across your mind. A moment's gone. This is the hevel that the preacher's talking about. And you realize how fast these things move along. Life is delicious, yes, but it disappears. So the question is not how long is your line? That's not the question. The question is, what will you do in this life that you've been given? And Qoheleth says, to me and to you, maybe you don't feel so young, but hear the word anyway. Young person, do you want to be wise? Do you? Well, while the world is bright, while it's full of possibility, while it's full of optimism, and you think you could change things, you still feel like you could do something, you could leave your mark on this world, while you still feel like that, remember your Creator. Remember Him. Young woman, young man, I know you can hear me, okay? If you're listening online, I know you can hear me. Remember your Creator while you are young. I want to speak to the students in the room. Imagine it this way, okay? Life is kind of like reading week, okay? Life is like reading week. Some of us handle reading week differently than others. You know what reading week is? Maybe you don't know. Reading week is that space that they give you in the middle of the semester to do some reading. All right? They don't call it time off week. But some of us learn this when we treat it like time off week, don't we, right? We think, oh, finally, I can finally be with my friends. I can finally be a human again. I'm going to go to a restaurant, finally. And then here comes November and December, and all of a sudden you have a term paper and a final and a presentation in 3 weeks. How are you supposed to do it? How did you live your reading week? Life is a lot like reading week. What happened? What happened to my life, you will say? You will look back, say, what happened to all the time that I had? Where did it go? Remember your paper. Remember your final. Remember your life. Remember your destination. Remember where life goes. Remember your Creator. Look with me at chapter 12, verse 1. He says, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come. I want to pause on this word remember. I know I'm kind of harping on it, but I want to talk about really what it means. Okay? In Hebrew, the word is zakar. Zakar. You want to try saying that? Zakar. It's the word that we translate as remember. And it doesn't mean to us what we think. It doesn't mean try not to forget. Right? We think remember, that means don't forget. Not so fast. Instead, it's better to understand this word zakar or remember as a promise of faithful love toward people that you will love. So when the Bible's talking about it, it's talking in the terms of how God remembers his people. That actually it's a verb, it's an action word, it's a doing word. When you remember something, you're actually acting in a faithful love towards something that you promised. Let me give you some context. If you think about the Israelites in Egypt, enslaved for 400 years, and what does the scripture say? They say, and God heard the cry of his people, and he remembered them. So what does it mean when it says that? Does it mean that God thought nice things about the Israelites who were enslaved? No. What it means is that God remembered them. He willed in his love to do something about their situation and act on their behalf for his covenant faithfulness. That's what it means that God remembers. And so when you and I are told to remember, we are not just being called not to simply not forget, but instead to act in faithfulness toward our God, to live our lives, to do an action, to live our lives in a loyalty to a king, to center our lives around the point of gravity, to live in light of God's rule and reign of every part of my life, of the way I park in the North Shore parking lot, right? When I turn left out of that street today, that I'm going to be kind to the person behind me, right? This is what it means to live your life. So remember your Creator means more than thinking about God occasionally. It means don't live as if God doesn't exist. You're like, that's a double negative. Help me understand. Live as if God exists, right? Remember him. Turn toward him now while the strength is yours to do so. Set your mind on him before you can't set your mind on something. Think of him before your capacity for delighting in things fades, before your body starts telling you the truth. This world's never your home. It's not your final home. So the way Qohelet or Ecclesiastes or the teacher, the way he wants to persuade you and me is through some very rich poetry. Some of us are like, yes. Others of us are like, oh no, don't worry, I will hold your hand, okay? We'll make it. So here in chapter 12, from verses 1 through 8, there's this beautiful poem that he writes. And I want to just go over what he says. He says, the keepers of the house tremble. And what we can understand is this is our hands beginning to shake. This is imagery for the keepers of our house, our hands, they tremble. They begin to shake when you get old. Did you know that? Right? It's hard. He says, the strong men begin to stoop. Okay, so we can see our backs. and we start to get a little bit shorter. Your legs and your back weaken. He says the grinders cease because they are few. The grinders cease. See? Do you see? Those who look through windows grow dim. Right? Your eyes begin to look through a broken window. Like it's like cataracts, right? He says the doors on the street are shut. Sounds fade. Sleep is fractured. You have just a night of many naps, right? It's no longer a sleep. Fears increase, desire declines. And what he's describing for us in chapter 12, 1 through 8, is a school of aging. He's describing the aging of our bodies as if it were an old house slowly sagging away. All right? So turn to somebody and say, hey, you're an old house slowly sagging away. Right? No, you don't have to say that. You don't have to say that. But hey, he's saying it's true, right? He's saying it's true. That's what we are. Our bodies eventually fade. Here's what I want you to see, something crucial, that aging is not punishment. Aging is not something we have to run from. In the book of Ecclesiastes, aging is shown to us as a school of surrender. Okay? It's not punishment. It's not something that we just try and avoid all of our lives until it inevitably happens to us. But as we age, we learn. One theologian would say that human life, all of human life is a divine, it's an academic word, a divine pedagogy or a divine school. It's a degree. It's a program. It's a program that you take. It's growing in your capacity to be with the divine. It's growing in your capacity to behold God and to bear his presence. It's a school of surrender. Aging is God's school of surrender. Another ancient church writer tells us that every limitation is actually an invitation to see God more truly. And so I want to show this in our text. What does this look like for us? Where limitations in our lives as we age become invitations, right? We see our weakening hands. If you have a weak hand and it shakes and you can't grab what you need somebody to hold your hand, don't you? What does that teach you? It teaches you dependence. You see dimming eyes. I was talking with somebody this morning. He said, hey, have you ever just listened to somebody and just closed your eyes and just listened? You see them a lot differently. You hear them differently. That dimming eyes teach you to see perhaps more deeply than you would have before. Fading desire awakens a longing for a joy that nothing in this earth has satisfied yet. What does that mean? It means you were meant for another world. You were meant for something more than this. And you're learning it. You think of rising fears, right? You think, oh, I don't want to go down those steps, or I don't want to fall. What is that doing? It's actually inviting you to trust. It's inviting you to trust in someone to help you. It's inviting you to trust that God will take care of you. Maybe to take slower steps, right? It's this unchosen pace that you don't want to do. It forces you into a patience. I know some of you guys, man, I see how fast you walk. This is North Van, dude. People just rip by, right? And eventually, you're going to slow down. And it's not actually a choice. In youth, there are 1,000 distractions. When age comes, the distractions get taken away. And the teacher is saying to you and to me this morning, don't waste the early lesson. Don't waste that. Choose now where you will live. Will you live under heaven where God is ruling and reigning? Or will you live under the sun and pretend that heaven doesn't exist? Which presupposition are you going to make about your life? One leads to meaninglessness. The other leads to the presence of God. See, to remember your Creator is not like remembering your lunch. Let's think of it this way, just to pound this home, okay? What for you, if you were to say, what's the opposite of remember? Yeah, to forget, right? We would probably say forget. Okay, so for the purpose of this sermon, I want to change that definition. The opposite of remember is not to forget. The opposite of remember, in this context, is to dismember. Okay, so if you think of the word member, and remember and dismember. So something when it's dismembered gets remembered, and is made a member. You understand? It is to dismember an idea, right? To dismember an idea from our awareness. It is to dismember the idea of hope from rescue. It is to dismember everything. A life in this fallen world pulls apart everything, whether it's our body from our soul. You don't have a soul, right? That's what people will say. You don't have a soul, you're just a body. To dismember our minds from our hearts, people pulling them apart. To dismember a person from another person. It's not the way it's meant to be. Aging does feel like a slow dismembering. To remember your Creator is to let God remember you, put you back together, to put you back together around Him. There's a moment in the New Testament, and there's a man who prays this prayer, and he turns to Jesus and he says, "Lord, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom?" He's a young man. Although he's young, he doesn't have his whole life in front of him. This young man is the thief on the cross next to Jesus in Luke 23. I want you to think about him. He had no more years of youth left. He had no more time in the school of aging. He had no more second chances. He was on his last breath, right? His life was already dismembered by sin. His life was dismembered by shame and by failure. And so when he looks to Jesus and he says, "Remember me," he's not asking Jesus, "Will you think fondly of me?" He's not saying to him, "One day, will you recall this moment that we had together?" What he's saying to Jesus is, "Remember me. Like Jesus, gather me up like a dad gathers up his daughter. Gather me up, welcome me home, hug me like a lost kid come home. Hold me, pick me up, put me back together, remember me, bring me home, remember me. Will you remember me?" And Jesus answers him. Maybe you know what he says. Maybe you know your Bible, right? Jesus says, "Today you will be with me in paradise. Today you will be with me in paradise. I will remember you. I will. I will remember you." The thief on the cross was remembered into Jesus' kingdom. So because life is fleeting, remember your Creator now and live toward the God that you will one day face. The teacher closes with a picture of our bodily end. He says, from verses 6 to 7, that the silver cord snaps, the golden bowl is crushed, the pitcher breaks, the wheel collapses. And this is a moment when life not only bends, but life actually breaks. And the lights go out, and the dust returns to dust, and the spirit returns to the God who gave it. And here, right here, is the truth Ecclesiastes wants ringing in your ear as you close the book. Okay, as you close the book today, you must decide, how are you going to live this life? How are you going to live this life? How are you going to live this life? Before God? Or are you going to try to forget Him? Will you remember your Creator? You are, as Dallas Willard reminds us, he says in his book, Divine Conspiracy, he says, "You are an unceasing spiritual being with an eternal destiny in God's great universe." Which means aging is not merely decay. It's a preparation. It is God's school of surrender. It is your opportunity to release your grip on the illusion that you're in control of this thing. Right? The invitation of Ecclesiastes is clear. Remember your Creator now so that when this old saggy house finally falls apart, you will look, when your spirit returns to God, you will look and you will see Him. You'll see Him face to face, and He will remember you. So what I would say is, be like the thief. Be like the thief. Last time you hear that in church. Be like the thief. In desperation, cry out to Him. Be like the thief. Be the young person that chooses to go against the flow and remember their creator when the sun is bright, when there's possibility everywhere. Remember God and put him first. But here's what I would caution you, okay? Don't wait until this body that once carried you, don't wait until that body that once carried you can no longer have faith. Don't wait. Every pastor I know would say the same thing. Please don't wait. Live your life now for him. And you will remember him, and he will remember you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word today. God, I thank you that you look on me, the thief on the cross. And as I call out to you, Lord, as I say, God, remember me. Remember me in your kingdom. Lord, you look and you see me. God, I pray for each person here that is crying out in their soul. Maybe they're smiling on the outside, but they're dying on the inside, Lord. Their soul is crying out to know their Creator. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would comfort them, that they would know there's no guilt in your kingdom, that because of what God has done, we can be released from condemnation. We can come into the hope that Jesus Christ sees us, remembers us, and makes us whole. Lord, today we confess our great need for you, and we put our trust in you. I ask you to have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Just invite you to stand with us as we continue in worshiping.